Hey Dreamers, Joe Pardo here. I hope you all enjoyed episode 100, which came out on Friday. I know I had a great time recording with Al Kessel, and I still can't thank him enough for being there for me. A few quick updates. I added to howtodream.co all the iTunes reviews that you have all been so kind to leave. And after talking to my friend Greg Clunas over the weekend, I would love to add some YouTube testimonials to howtodream.co. So here's the deal. Record and upload your video testimonial to YouTube. Hit the Write to Joe button at the top of howtodream.co. Send me the link to your video with your mailing address, and I will mail you out a copy of my dual CD limited edition Disney music mashup album, Adventuratorium. It normally sells at jpar.co for $10 plus $3 shipping. $2.50 of every CD that's sold goes to Give Kids the World, and I'm willing to donate that myself, and I'll pay the $3 shipping for every CD that I send out for a YouTube testimonial. This gift to you can make a great gift for any Disney fan. You can find out all about Adventuratorium at jpar.co. Thanks again for listening. I really appreciate all of you. And if you enjoy the show, please, please, please share it with people you know and love. I hope you all have a magical week.
This is the Dreamers Podcast, where dreamers share their stories to inspire you. Now, join host Joe Pardo as he interviews a dreamer who's living their dreams.
Welcome to the Dreamers Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Pardo, and today I'm interviewing Tony Gonzalez, who is living his dream through music production. Welcome to the show, Tony.
Hey, what's going on, Joe? How you been, man?
I've been very well, very well. I appreciate you coming on today to talk about the Maniac Agenda and all your endeavors that you've gone through to lead you up to this point.
Indeed, indeed. Yeah, I'm glad you brought me on, because when I was first starting out, that's when we actually met up. So it's like it goes far back, so it's really cool to come on your show and discuss, you know, what's been through the timeline since then. So yeah, the Maniac Agenda is doing some cool things right now. We do music production, so we do produce other artists, but we also do live performances as well. So it's kind of like a two and for one kind of thing. And then we also do like our solo stuff as well within that. So it's a lot of different things that we have going on right now. So what questions do you have for me today?
Awesome. Well, let's jump right into giving some background about yourself.
Well, my name is Antonio Gonzalez, and I started, DJing back in, I'd say, early 2000s as a DJ Satisfaction, which now I go by SAT, which is like kind of a shortened version of that, which was derived from that. I started off doing hip-hop production, so I did a lot of rap beats and stuff for a lot of the local artists, where I actually met one of your former guests, Rich Quick, during that time when I was working for this record label, Blackout Records, that was a local hip-hop label. And then I just kept doing it, and then eventually I won a contest for VH1 where I got a mentorship with Questlove from the Roots, and that really kicked off my career, because I learned a lot of awesome information about the business, about production, and met a lot of awesome people there that helped, set my career up so that I could do it for a living. Then what happened was I was doing production while I was doing, hip hop production. My brother, Dennis, he was doing like industrial and more electronic style production at this point. So then me and him eventually, got together and started making music in about 2007, I want to say, like 2006, 2007. I think like 2007. And that was great, because at that point, me and him were just learning from each other. So I had all these new cool tricks I knew, and he had all these cool production tricks he knew. So he's like, oh, check this out. And then we would just trade tricks, and then we would just, learn it together. We decided to start a group called the Maniac All-Stars. Now, the Maniac All-Stars was like a kind of like electronic rock group. The thing that inspired us to do that was me and my brother went to the Prodigy concert you know, the electronic group from the UK, the big beat breakbeat group. We saw them at the Electric Factory. We were like, wow, we could totally do this. Because it was like something that we've been passionate about. Because he's a passionate about rock music. I'm passionate about rock music. And I love the broken beats and stuff like that. So once we saw them, we were like, let's start a project. We started a project, like I was telling you before, the Maniac All-Stars. And we started just experimenting with all these different sounds. Just, we were running everything through distortion. I remember we would just, you know, there'd be tracks where we would run the drums, the guitar, the vocals, everything just through distortion. We just kept getting really experimental with it. You know, we got some production credits under the Maniac under the Maniac All-Stars, where we did a remix, official remixes for Cell Dweller, for Fixed Records, who he's a very well-known, like, multi-genre electronic rock artist. I was still working for VH1, and I was doing, like, the backing tracks for the Hip Hop Honor Show at that time. So that was really cool, because I got to do the Hip Hop Honor Show is where they do a tribute to the originators of hip hop. So they would do mega mixes for the show, and then they would have other artists perform their verses for the person that they're honoring. My job was to take all the mega mixes and blend them together for the performance tracks. So I was doing that, and then what happened was, in 2010, this is where things really took a turn. Oh wait, not, it was 2009, my bad. We won a contest for doing a remix for this group, Telepath, and we got to play Camp Bisco, which is this really big, crazy music festival, like 10,000 plus people come out to it. They get a lot of acts from a lot of different places. And it really showed us, like, the scope of, like, electronic. Because at this time, dubstep was not even around or existed. Well, it existed, but it was, like, more in the UK. It really didn't come over to America yet. And we linked up with this artist named Starkey, who was producing dubstep. He's from Philadelphia, but he's mostly known in the UK. And we learned about it. So we're like, hey, let's start incorporating this into our music. So at that point, we started a new project that is now the project that we're working on, the Maniac Agenda, where we started incorporating dubstep into rock music, and then dubstep obviously took off with it, where we got to do a lot of different production gigs for, you know, a lot of different people. And that's kind of like where we're at right now. Like, I can just go in and tell you some of the things that we've produced.
Yeah, sure.
All right, yeah. Well, some of the big ones we've done, the biggest to date, I would say, we co-produced the Metal Gear Rising soundtrack, the video game, which did really well. It sold millions of copies. Did it with Logan Mader. He's a well-known producer from LA. He was in Machine Head. He was in Soulfly. He was the guitarist in those bands. And now he's producing for the who's who of the metal and rock genre. So we worked with him and Jamie Christofferson, who's did a lot of video game soundtracks before and movie soundtracks. Obviously, the Platinum Games, they're the company that was developing the video game at the time. We added a lot of the, you know, the dubstep or like electronic, more electronic elements. But although there were wubs in there, we took influences from like psytrance and breakbeat and a whole bunch of other genres of music that we put together for this soundtrack. And if this video game was an offshoot from Metal Gear, which is a franchise that's very well known and established. So this was like, a lot of the fans of the franchise were iffy about it. They didn't know what to expect. So we had a lot of pressure on us as far as the music as well. But it did really well, and the feedback from the music was very, very taken very well. And it opened a lot of doors for us. We went on to do remixes for other groups like Inner Party System. They're not a group anymore, but they broke up, but they were on Red Bull Records, and they were one of the groups that influenced me a lot, so it was great to work with them. Recently, we did Asking Alexandria. We did sound design and programming on their album. It went number one in hard rock, number one independent, and number five overall on Billboard. So we did that last year, and then we did a remix for this group called Starset. They're this like electronic rock kind of group in a similar lane as us, but a little bit more on the rock side of things. And we did a mix of their debut album, and their album went number 46 on Billboard. And then we did a lot of remixes and production for a lot of other people as well, like artists, you know, from all different levels. And then we have our original stuff that has been doing well on Beatport charts. Like, we put out our first dubstep record, went number 8 in dubstep overall. Then we put out an EP collaboration with this guy, Randy Seedman, who's the tour manager for Infected Mushroom, who's a group that I love. They're from Israel. They're like a psytrance electronic group. And that went number 1 in Chill Out and number 2 in Glitch Hop and number 10, I believe, overall on Beatport. So, yeah, we've been doing a lot of different things as far as that with the Maniac Agenda, which allowed me to branch off myself and do solo endeavors and develop artists and things like that and do A&R. So I work as an A&R for a record label now, Multi-Kill Recordings. So it's been a lot of fun, so just to be able to do all that stuff.
Wow, that's a pretty extensive background. You know, it's great to see that you were able to make all that happen after your time with VH1. What would you say music production means to you?
I would say it's different, because if you're producing an artist, what you're going to do is you're taking their vision and what they want to do and get help provide the path to get to fulfill their vision using the technology and the, you know, the production ideas. Because some artists you work with, they don't have any production knowledge, any ideas about music. What you want to do is kind of listen to them and take what their vision is or what they're trying to tell you and try to paint, you know, a picture in your mind and create, you know, a sonic vision of what they are trying to create. Now, as far as doing it yourself, like when you're producing, say, records for like the Maniac Agenda, that's kind of more like an artistic approach to production. Although when you're working with an artist, it's artistic, but at the same time, it's, you know, it's a little more of a give and take kind of thing where there's usually a goal. Where in the artistic realm of things, there's not necessarily a goal sometimes. It's more you're just creating music to have fun. You're just experimenting with new ideas. Just taking what's ever inside of you and just expressing it through audio. So production to me is definitely an art and a science combined. And I think it's really exciting because it's once you go out and you see and hear your music getting played and you hear the reactions and you see how people take it, it's really good. Even if it's good or bad, it's like a lifelong journey of, you know, just figuring out how to combine sounds. And feel very blessed to be able to, you know, do that for a living.
What would you say inspires you?
Obviously, other artists do inspire me, and other producers. Like, I take influence from a lot of sounds. I like a lot of the older material, like classic rock music, like, you know, Pink Floyd. I like trip-hop, like Portishead, that kind of stuff. Even, like, 90s hip-hop influences me. I love those dirty breakbeats. Obviously, dubstep influenced me, a lot of those sounds. I take influence just from life and emotions, just trying to captivate that state of mind and emotion and invoking it into an audio recording to represent that emotion. We do movie trailers. So when you're doing movie trailers, you're trying to capture the emotion of what's going on in the film scene. So you want to be able to take the emotion and apply it in an audio setting. So I just take inspiration from living life.
So how did music come about for you?
Wow. Well, that started when I was really young. Piano. What happened was I used to break dance and I was really involved in that. And I broke my wrist one time and I couldn't break dance anymore for a whole summer. And if you're like a little teenager break dancer and you break your wrist and you can't break it, it's like the end of the world. So my mom had a keyboard and I would just play it every day. I would just keep playing and playing, just making songs and figuring stuff out. My mom knew a little bit of music theory, so she just taught me some basic things about it, and then I just took it from there and then, you know, just brought it into, then I found dolls. Digital audio workstations. It's when you can make it with the computer. And then once I figured that out and you can hook up a keyboard to that, that's all I would do. It was like pretty much, I would always just create music and just kept doing it. And then I got involved in DJing because I wanted to figure out a way how I could get the music I created out there. So I started doing a lot of mobile DJing, club DJing, just, doing parties so I could get familiar, working with, with people and seeing what different demographics react to the different kinds of sound. And once I did that, I just took it from there. It was just like a step-by-step process.
How was your dream of pursuing music received by your family?
At first, well, my mom's always been really supportive of it. She was always, had my back. At first, my dad was apprehensive about it, but as time went on and he saw, us achieving bigger and bigger things, then he started to come around, and now he's all for it. Now he's one of the biggest supporters of it. Like, it's one of those things where you tell your parents, I'm going to be a rock star, or I'm going to do this. They're like, oh, you're going to go to college. You're going to get a job. You're going to do this. It's kind of scary at first because music is one of those industries that it's really hard to make a living off of it. So it takes a lot of preparation, and you're working and not getting paid at first for a couple of years until you establish enough of a skill set and fan base and or clients to sustain it. You're really an entrepreneur. You're really just taking it and building relationships. It's a relationship business. Yeah, at first they were a little wary, or at least my dad was, but my mom has always had my back. But nowadays they're very supportive about it.
What roadblocks have you hit along the way?
Well, when we were the Maniac All-Stars and we were near the end of that road, we really had no clue what to do because, our talent and our skill sets were there. We had the ability, but we were wondering why we weren't getting signed or we weren't getting production gigs or what was happening. So we had, no money and anything. We were, sharing a room in, a house. Me and my brother were, renting, one room and sharing it. So everything was really tight. Just did our research and figured out, about marketing and, I was saying, building relationships and that whole avenue of the music business. And that's when things started, taking off, is once we got better at that. So that was one of the roadblocks. Always keeping it fresh, per se, at least in the artist realm, is because you have, your fans expect certain, styles and sounds to do. But sometimes you want to experiment and get out of that. Not get out of it, but you want to try something new. And sometimes, you get a lot of different feedback from that. That's maybe not the most positive. So that's the roadblock. And then, just right now, since we're do-it-yourself artists, it's actually a really cool time because, nowadays, record labels are dying and stuff like that. Independents are starting to pop up everywhere, and all the tools are available for you to do it. So it's you can make that choice of, do you want to be signed or do it yourself? I personally like doing it yourself or working as more of a partnership with a label, because that works out better, because then it's kind of more control in your favor, so you can kind of go with your vision. Just the ever-changing music industry is one of the biggest obstacles, I would say. Because, say, once you figure out a tactic to how to promote on SoundCloud, they update the site and it's changed. So it's since everything's changing, it's probably one of the hardest things, I would say, obstacles.
So what disappointments have you hit along the way?
Well, some of them is, you'll get to meet artists that you are really passionate about and like, and you find out they're really not who they are. That's always kind of disappointing, because it's always aww. It makes you kind of sad a little bit inside, especially if you, looked up to them. That was one of the things. Seeing the behind the scenes of music, you get to see, how everything really is. And it makes it seem very overwhelming at times, seeing how everything's changing and stuff like that, and being able to adapt. And then when you don't adapt right, it takes, a big toll in, what a lot of the things that you're trying to do. So then you have to get yourself back up and continue moving on and make a lot of lifestyle changes. Being a band, that's another thing. Being a group of people, learning how to work with everyone and things of that nature, that always takes a lot of work, and trying to do that sometimes doesn't work out, and it's a struggle sometimes to just keep everything together. But all in all, I feel, you know, you need to have your down times to learn, you know, learn from your mistakes so you can keep moving forward.
What would you say is the favorite concert you've ever been to?
That I've ever been to or we ever played?
I was going to say been to, but if you want to go a play, that's fine.
Actually, it's kind of both, because I would say Camp Bisco in 2009 was probably my favorite, because we got to play it, which was fun. But then, since it's a music festival and they last for a couple of days, you get to go and see the other act. You get to eat dinner with them and everything. So you get to see the music, see it being performed. You're vibing out with all these people and hanging out. And then you get to go and, you know, go talk to the artist afterwards and just, you know, hang out and chill. And it was such, like I was telling you before, it was such an eye-opening experience where we learned so much and got to, you know, get inspired from all these different artists that we got to meet. Like, we got to meet Damian Marley and talk with him, and we got to Spangle, you know, we got to hang out with those guys, Younger Brother, the Disco Biscuits, the list goes on. I would say that was one of my favorite experiences as far as going out to a concert and just, you know, being in that atmosphere. It's a whole different type of concert experience when you're staying there and a part of it as well. So I would say Camp Disco.
Could you share a favorite memory?
The Metal Gear Rising release party, when we were DJing and hanging out and everything, and we were hanging out with members of System of a Down, Metallica, and Dragon Force, and they were just feeling our music and just like coming up and hanging out with us, and just that was, and then it was just after the game released, and I was telling you before how there was so much pressure, and it was probably one of the hardest things that we ever did, because the timeline for it was so small on how we had to get the production work done, and the production at the time was really cutting edge, so we had a lot of overhead that we had to get done in a small amount of time. We were up for like 48 hours sometimes straight working on things. To have that all come together and then see the reactions, and then just, you know, the energy in the room of everyone when it was like done and everyone was excited about it. And it was this really amazing, you know, I would say masterpiece, because it's been rated, I'd say, top 5, top 10 video game soundtracks of all time. So just to get that reaction after all the hard work is done is probably one of my favorite times, from people that I respect and peers as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's always special when you can get the reaction just from other people that are actually your peers and not just people that are fans of the game or the movie or whatever the bigger work is.
Yeah, indeed. It's just from all people. Like, seeing the fans, that's always awesome. I love when they're happy. And then people that you looked up to and respected for years, and then just the peers and the other people working on it with you. It's just an amazing experience when it all comes together and it works.
What do your dreams for the future look like?
Right now, I feel like we're in a transitional phase right now, which is, it's exciting and it's scary at the same time. For me personally, I'm working on solo music, which is kind of more hip-hop, glitch-hoppy, electronic-style music. And then I work with different singers and hip-hop artists with. As I was mentioning before, I'm doing A&R for a record label, so that's always fun. I like developing artists, so like I like finding the new sounds and then help growing them in their career. So management is definitely looking like something I'm going to be doing in the future. As far as the Maniac Agenda, you know, keep doing movie trailers and video game stuff, keep producing that stuff, and then, you know, other artists as well, like, who knows, when someone hears something that we did, they, you know, they contact us, and just excited to see who we're going to work with next and what new sounds that we can create.
Real quick, what does A&R mean?
Artist and Repertoire, which is basically your talent scout. You scout out different artists and then you sign them to record deals, and then, or you're kind of like the project manager for an artist on a record label. So your job is to first locate talent, find talent that works with what the label's trying to promote, and then you develop them, and then you go through the different steps with the artist. Like, you'll find their producers or the different mixing engineers, or like you're kind of like, you'll find the artwork, like you'll work with that with them, but your job is to kind of like take the project and work with their management team if they have one, and then just, you know, get the record to the best it can be in line with what the record label's going for and what the artist is going for. And then I'm probably going to open up a record label myself in the future as well.
That's pretty exciting news.
Yeah, so I was just saying, so that's why right now I'm just getting all this more experience doing it, you know, for the labels and stuff like that, so then I can apply it to my own endeavors in the future when I'm doing, you know, my own record label and things of that nature.
So are there any last thoughts you'd like to share?
Yeah. If you have a dream, go for it and don't let anyone tell you you can't do something, and just go out and do it.
Definitely. I mean, that's exactly what you did.
Yep, exactly. So you just got to take it and just go with it. Like, there's going to be ups and downs along the road, but you know, that's what makes life interesting. It's all about the journey as opposed to the destination. Death is the destination, but life is the journey. So just enjoy the ride. Just go through it. And, you know, if you want to be, you know, a rock star, you want to be a producer, you want to be a painter, you want to do that, you know, figure out a way to do it. Sit down, get a realistic plan on how to do it, and then go for it. That's my advice.
So would you like to plug your websites and how people can connect with you?
Yeah, you can reach us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/TheManiacAgenda. Or you can go to our website, which is maniacmusic.net. Twitter is @TheManiacAgenda. And SoundCloud is @TheManiacAgenda. If you want to email me, you can email me at my personal email at sattrax@gmail.com, which is sattrax@gmail.com. So I read every email I get. I listen. I love talking with fans and other people and just, you know, being social. So feel free to, you know, give us a shout.
Very good. I will have them all in the show notes at howtodream.co.
All right. Thank you.
And I would love to have you on the show again in like a year or so and see how you're doing.
Indeed. Yeah. It's been a while. I remember we met up, like, what was it, 2005, 2006, somewhere around there, right?
Something like that. I think 05.
Yeah, 05, 04. So, yeah, and now it's been like almost like 9 years. So I think a yearly update is definitely in the works. I think that could be cool. So there's a lot of catching up to do.
There definitely is.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show. It was a lot of fun to sit here and just, you know, chat, tell you what I've been up to, and, you know, for the viewers and everything like that, the listeners rather, because, you know, we're on the podcast. So, yeah, man, let's do this again sometime.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thanks again, Tony.
All right, thank you, Joe.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dreamers Podcast. Follow us on Twitter @DreamersPodcast. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/DreamersPodcast. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the Dreamers Podcast, please send an email to j@jpar.co. This podcast is copyright 2014 by jpar.co.
Today's background music has been provided by Tom Amin. You can check out more about Tom Amin at tomaminmusic.com.